Did you know that around the world, 262 million children are not attending school? That's one in five children who should be in school but are not able to go.
Today on Real Family Talk, we'll find out why so many children are being denied access to education and what's being done to challenge this unfortunate reality. Join us. Kofi Annan, former Secretary General of the United Nations, said, "Knowledge is power. Information is liberating. Education is the premise of progress in every society, in every family."
While this is true, we recently learned that some 252 million children who should be attending school and getting an education are not able to. Joining us to talk about this is Ashley Isley, Associate Communication Director for the Adventist Development and Relief Agency called ADRA. Welcome, Ashley.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming to talk to us about this very important topic. So why is it that so many children around the world are not enrolled in school?
There are a lot of reasons, and everywhere you go around the world, it's a different reason. You know, it is rarely ever because the parents don't want their children in school. They see the value of it, but oftentimes it's poverty. It's more important to get food on the table or to put a roof over their head than to send the children to school. And in times of crisis, obviously, you'll do anything to keep your family safe, even if that means sacrificing education.
Yeah, so are you saying that people in certain countries, they have to pay for their children to
Absolutely.
Go to school?
Sometimes it's paying to go to school. It's paying for supplies. Sometimes it's being miles and miles away from the nearest school. So getting them there can be difficult in itself and have
Absolutely.
A cost of the longer children are out of the home, the longer they're not earning money for the family or going to get clean water or doing all the other things that, you know, we often don't think about here in the U.S., but certainly are an issue every day.
So they're needed to take care of some of the basic
Absolutely.
Necessities
Exactly.
of life. So you've mentioned that there are some places where this is happening more.
Sure.
I think that we're not able to name some countries,
sure, sure,
but
sure.
if you could just share with us, like, some of the areas where you see
Absolutely.
This happening.
And we see it pretty evenly around the world, for just for different reasons. You know, right now we have a school feeding program in Southern Africa and several countries there, and that's trying to help remove that burden of poverty. So families that would keep children home to earn an income, now they've got another reason to send them to school because it's one less
food.
Meal they need
yeah.
to provide, and
yeah.
it's nourishment for their family. And often kids will take some of the meals home for brothers and sisters. But other places in the world where you see, you know, bigger refugee movements, they, kids can't go to school because
right.
there's just not schools where they are, or there's problems, you know, trying to fit in with the host community and a burden on a host community and oftentimes.
Right, right. I think we were in a country recently where we saw that ADRA was starting a school
Absolutely.
For refugee children,
yeah.
but you could only take so many children.
Exactly.
And so that was really hard, and we spoke with some of the parents, and the parents were so happy that their children were able to go to school. But unfortunately, there are many children who are not able to.
Absolutely.
Well, the disruption of war is a big deal.
It's huge.
And there's conflict in so many places around the world.
Absolutely.
So when there's conflict and people are trying to preserve their lives and they're running and
that
they're
comes first.
Moving across borders mm-hmm. and they are refugees, there's no time
Absolutely.
For school.
And even a natural disaster,
yeah.
oftentimes schools become shelters.
Yes.
So that's a wonderful thing, but that means no school.
That's
you know?
A good point. Absolutely.
or
Even
schools
here.
Are destroyed. Absolutely.
Right.
Exactly.
That's
Even
right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, when
Absolutely.
We hear there's a hurricane, they say, you know, head to your local
yeah,
public school.
Because it's a safe place.
Or a tornado or something, and people are being helped and sheltered.
Wow. And it's funny that we never really stop
oh,
to
no.
think about that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So are there particular groups that are more susceptible to this lack of education?
Absolutely. First of all, we see girls. We see that around the world where girls, you know, the priority for them. Sometimes in some places the burden is to get them married. That's more important to help a family situation. And they are, I think, 1.5 times more likely to be out of school than boys. Similar, I know we've already spoken about refugees, but refugees are 5 times more likely to miss out on education than non-refugee children. And migrants are really similar as well. And then also children with disabilities. 90% of children with disabilities can't access school in developing countries. And again, it comes to, even in the U.S., I know it's very difficult for people who have children with disabilities to get them enrolled in school. And then you add to that the lack of accessibility in public spaces in other countries that aren't set up as well as the
U.S. No facilities.
There's no facilities.
Or training.
Exactly.
There's no training as well.
And just getting out into the city can be hard enough, let alone getting your children to school.
Right. And so what is ADRA doing to combat some of these issues?
It's different everywhere we work, but like I mentioned, the school feeding program is something we've been really excited about.
Tell us a little bit more about that, because it's so exciting to hear you say that.
It's wonderful.
And how it's working. So how does that work?
We basically, in some schools, we actually even are planting gardens and children are growing their own food at school.
Oh, wow.
But the teachers there or special people there are creating meals for lunch. And they're nice, hot meals, really nourishing, making sure they have a lot of vitamins and minerals. But
Protein.
Yeah, lots of protein, too. Yes. But it's amazing. Kids are coming to school.
That's so powerful.
We exceeded our goals in a lot of areas.
That is amazing.
So it's been exciting.
That's amazing.
To see that.
So can you share some of the places where this is working?
And the school feeding program, we started in 5 countries in Southern Africa. So we have Madagascar, Zimbabwe, Swaziland, which is now Eswatini, Mozambique, and one other, no, maybe it's just the 4 countries, sorry. But yeah, it's in those countries there, and we're hoping to expand it as well. So I think we're going into year 3. And as I mentioned, we had goals to get a certain amount of kids in, and we've exceeded.
How do you get the word out? Like, how do the parents find out, or how do the children find out?
Well, most ADRA staff are local. So it's a misconception a lot of people have is that, you know, we're sending Americans overseas to work, but the majority of our staff are local staff. So we are serving by needs. We see what the need is in the community, and the word spreads really naturally, either through the teachers and the families, or a lot of places where we work, we go door to door in communities. We want these kids to be in school. And yeah, so we make sure the word gets out, and it spreads very quickly. Anytime a burden is being relieved from families, that will spread like wildfire.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So the parents have a greater level of trust.
Absolutely.
If you're saying, well, I'm going to feed your child.
Exactly. It's like they want their children to have the education, and that just helps tip the scales, basically, of either I keep them home to help earn more money so I can feed them. Well, if they go to get education, which is also important, and they're getting a meal, it's almost a no-brainer when possible.
There was something you mentioned earlier on about teaching them to grow their own food.
Yeah.
And I thought that was powerful because it's one thing to, as the saying goes,
exactly,
give a man a fish and you feed him for one day. You know, teach him to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. So tell me more about that program that's empowering them to grow their own
Absolutely.
Food.
And that's something that we're trying to do more and more. So we're in the 3rd year of the program. We're hoping to do more of that. Because originally, the meals are coming with our partner, Rise Against Hunger, which are kind of packaged meals, great vitamins and nutrients. But the variety is only so much. But when they're growing gardens there on the school grounds, first of all, they're learning a skill that will serve them for life.
Right. And so, their families.
Exactly. Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah. And they're getting a wider variety. They're getting fresher food. Because even though the packaged food is very healthy and wonderful, nothing beats fresh food.
Absolutely.
And then we can work with them onto the sustainability of the gardens and making sure they're always going to get what's in season. And there's no downside to it. The more we can empower them.
And this is all happening at school?
At school.
So
absolutely.
2 good things.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Exciting.
Wonderful. In a moment, we'll find out what ADRA is doing to help change this global reality. But first, these messages.
Nelson Mandela said, education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. Yet more than 262 million children around the world are not able to go to school, including a 10-year-old girl named Rafif. Ashley Isley is with us today to shed light on this. Ashley, tell us about it. Why are children not going to school? What is the main reason for this?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, and we see that the end game in this is the cycle of poverty continues.
Yeah.
As long as kids aren't in school, families are going to continue to be disadvantaged. It's a double-edged sword, unfortunately, that we understand why the kids are out of school.
Vicious cycle.
Exactly, but until we break it and get kids in school, their future is going to be limited, whereas you know, when they're in school, there's endless possibilities, and it's beneficial for everyone, not just the families, but the wider communities. The more people are learning trades, the more people are growing into successful fields, the more we're seeing communities grow and be more more successful.
So we're talking about upward mobility.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Helping them to go to the next level.
Exactly.
So that their future generations will be advantaged instead of disadvantaged,
absolutely.
As many of them have been.
Exactly. And we see that the every year that a child stays in school, their ability to earn more money goes up by each year. Like, it is that scientific down to it, that even if they can just stay in one more year or just get through primary school and a couple of years of secondary, great.
And that impacts life chances.
Oh, absolutely.
And expectations.
Absolutely.
Because if they have more education, they know more, they pay attention to more things.
Exactly.
They're more aware of certain things.
Yeah.
Where to access resources.
Exactly.
How to help someone else.
Absolutely. And it also helps families in the sense that a statistic that surprised me is that women who get education or young girls that get education, first of all, early marriage is cut drastically, but they also are better mothers. You see that the likelihood of children dying before the age of 5 drops so drastically when they are born to an educated mother.
And so that infant mortality
absolutely
takes a nosedive.
It takes a nosedive. Okay. So there's, again, no downside to educating a child.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
So what is ADRA doing about this issue, and why should we care?
Why should we care? It affects us all. And ADRA works internationally, but a lot of the things I'm talking about today also are here within the U.S. where we live. It's a humanitarian issue to us. We have a new motto that's justice, compassion, love. And they
justice,
all
compassion,
come
love.
Together when it comes to education.
Wonderful.
There's a justice
That's
issue
beautiful.
Of
yes.
evening the playing field for children and people of all ages. It's the compassion that comes from our humanitarian aid, and it's love. I mean, as Seventh-day Adventists, education is such a natural
yeah.
environment for
it
us.
Is.
Like
yeah.
we see the success
yeah.
in our own schools, and I know we want it for everyone around the world, here in the U.S. as well as in developing countries, and it's a huge thing.
So it's altruistic as well.
Absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely.
It's loving your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, it's a main value of Scripture, of the New Testament.
Absolutely.
If we believe in the Bible and what God has done
exactly.
and what Jesus did, loving your neighbor as yourself.
Exactly.
It is the essence of the gospel.
Exactly.
So we can't be disciples of Jesus and not be interested in the well-being of others.
Exactly.
And education is one of those core
issues.
Education
is at the heart of it. And it's something that's so natural for Seventh-day Adventists, as I said, because that's what we do. We love education, and we do it well, and we want to see more of that around the world.
So ADRA is doing it.
Yes.
And we applaud ADRA for that.
Sure.
And the rest of us should care.
Oh, absolutely.
And not only Seventh-day Adventists. Yeah. Anyone watching.
Anyone.
We should all care.
Absolutely.
Because it's, what do we call it? An existential choice that we make.
Yeah.
When we choose to help others to gain education, mm-hmm. we help the world.
Absolutely.
And we are part of that world. We are part of that family. So in essence, we are advantaging all of ourselves.
Absolutely.
And this is amazing.
And I find, like, as a mom, when I put my kids to bed at night, I want to know that I've done everything I can in a day so that a mother in Madagascar, in Nepal, in Kyrgyzstan can put her children to bed with the same hope for tomorrow that I have. And that is the heart of why we do what we do. It's like we want that same thing.
Third point. So what happens when children do gain access? You did speak about some of that. And how does it help transform families? And we've spoken some more about that.
A little about that, yeah.
Well, let's speak some more about not only does it transform this generation.
Oh,
it will have an impact in the second and third and fourth mm-hmm. generation, because the children of more educated people tend to be more educated
mm-hmm.
themselves.
And they see the value, and they're not going to accept to have their children not educated. So it's almost starting a whole new cycle of they see the benefits and then they want it for the rest of their family. And we see in a lot of the places we work how contagious it is within communities as well, that when one family has educated their child, they want the same for their neighbors. And like, no, you've got to be part of this. You've got to. And as I mentioned earlier, that's how the word spreads. We don't have to do much work because they get excited and it catches fire.
That's great that they're interested in their community being advantaged as well. So tell us about 10-year-old Rafif.
Yes, 10-year-old Rafif. We discussed kind of three of the focus groups of refugees, of girls, and of people with disabilities. She's all three.
Wow.
She's a 10-year-old refugee from Syria who lives in Lebanon. She's a girl, And she's got a disability. So she's got a spinal disorder that means that she can't walk. So she has a walker that she can kind of shuffle around. But, you know, they live in Beirut and kind of a settlement area. It's hard to get around. So going to school is not an option for her. Luckily, Adra Lebanon has a project there called Ability that sends tutors. So for her, education...
Into the camps.
Into I think they're more apartments, so it's not a camp situation. But yeah, they go to her home with iPads, with different kind of educational resources. Okay. So education looks differently for everybody. That's and for Rafif, she is... In many instances, people would think she's a hopeless case. You know, she's a girl in a culture that often wants girls and women to marry younger and to have families younger, which holds them back in the long run in some instances. But she also has that disability, and she's a refugee. Everything is counted against her,
Triple
but she's
whammy.
Still getting that education, and she still has a brighter future.
Wonderful, and, praise God.
Yeah, it's amazing to see. She is a light.
I love that story. I love the story because it tells me that we're not only waiting for people to come to us, so we're not only building schools, but when they can't come, we're going to them.
Exactly. Education is not one size fits all, and we need to make that really clear that you and I can't always have the same education, unfortunately. Sometimes we have to bring it to you. Sometimes, you know, some places where there are refugees and other groups, there's shifts. So there's a morning shift at school and an afternoon shift because the numbers are too high. You can't have everyone in there.
There's not a large enough space to house all of them at the same time.
So you have to kind of find what's best
and
for the
community. And so Adra is branching out in tutoring services. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, in some places. Absolutely.
And that's how Rafif is
getting her education. So in Lebanon, we have an educational center, a school there, but she can't get there.
Right.
So take it to her.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Excellent.
When we come back, we learn more about what Adra is doing to help. Stay with us.
When children get access to education, it not only changes their life, it can transform their families and their communities. So, Ashley, thank you again for being here. And you've been telling us a lot about the good work that Adra is doing, but you guys have a new campaign out.
I do.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah, the campaign is called Every Child, Everywhere, in School. We kept it simple with the name.
That's
but it's
beautiful.
Something I'm incredibly excited about because this has the potential for a huge impact, but it's probably the smallest ask we've ever asked of people. You know, this is not asking for a donation. This isn't asking to go out and volunteer. We just want names of Adventists who are willing to stand up for children.
So there's a
we
petition?
We have a petition online at adra.org/inschool. We're trying to get 1 million signatures from around the world by GC Session 2020, which is a very ambitious number, but
so
we can get there.
By June, July 2020.
Exactly. We're hoping to have
a million signatures. And where can people go to sign?
adra.org/inschool. Which we also have a lot of resources there, some of the stories, facts, a lot of resources that you can share and people to help get the message out that way.
Can we say that one more time?
Absolutely. adra.org/inschool. Exactly.
Okay.
So you can go there to sign. And it's a global Adventist-led campaign. It's starting with Adra, but we're hoping to get lots of other ministries involved, and we're already in talks with them and trying to get it around the world and
yes,
a lot of other divisions.
Yes, I believe
we've signed up.
Good, that's
so
wonderful.
We're happy to do that. So when you get the signatures, and we know that other campaigns have done things like this, exactly do you hope to accomplish by getting these signatures?
We want to tell world leaders, and we want to tell the world that we, as the Seventh-day Adventist Church, stand for education for all children equally around the world.
So it's an awareness.
It is. It's very much an awareness. We've got partners, you know, in UNICEF and other big organizations, as well as we're going to take this to world leaders, as mentioned, in the different countries. So what we do here in the U.S. may be different than what they do in Zimbabwe or what they do in Nepal or Bangladesh. But in each country, we are going to take it to world leaders to say, you know, we as a church are standing up and wanting to get every child in school and with quality education. Like there's no... We want to remove the burden for parents and help as much as we can. And
in other words, we want to advantage people.
Exactly.
We want them to have a better life.
And we want to do it as a united front. This isn't, you know, Adra may be the one launching it, but we can't do it alone. And we don't want to do it alone. Like, we're much stronger when we're all together. And it's great to see, like, we were talking to ministries and church leaders. It's fantastic. fantastic.
Yeah, and I think there's something important that you've said, and that is that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has always prided itself on education.
Yeah.
And we take it sometimes maybe for granted.
Yeah.
And so this is really raising their awareness that while we're doing great things, we can do even more. That there's so many people, so many children, all the other groups that you've mentioned who do not have access and they don't have the ability to go to school.
Absolutely.
So you brought a video for us to watch. So let's watch a video on this campaign. Mm-hmm.
Every scream I hear, every bullet blast, every breath I take might be my last.
Every brick I lift in the scorching heat, every break we don't take, every meal we don't eat.
Every hurricane, every classroom flood, every textbook and dream buried under the mud.
Every moment alone, every day with no end. Every vanishing hope for a classmate and friend.
Every childhood lost, every soon-to-be wife, every girl who was forced to hand over her life.
Every starving child, every refugee, every kid in the world deserves to feel free.
So enough with the screams and the bullet blast. In school, I feel safe from the violence at last.
Enough with the bricks and the heat of the day. In school, I can finally learn, eat, and play.
Enough with the storms that cause chaos and pain. In school, we keep learning in spite of the rain.
Enough with the lonely days all on my own. In school, I have friends and a welcoming home.
Enough with the girls who are forced to be wild.
In school, girls take back the control of their lives.
Every child.
Everywhere.
Just like me,
can find hope in school.
Well, we learn to be free.
Wow, that's so powerful. Yeah. I can see that it makes
you
emotional.
I know, it gets me emotional every time.
And you shared that you know some of these children.
Oh, absolutely. Rafif was in the promo, so
yeah.
A wonderful piece.
Thank you, thank you.
And the message is powerful.
Yeah,
it's all about empowerment and several levels of empowerment.
Absolutely.
You know, not only children who are disadvantaged by war or poverty or culture, but just the fact that we're talking about empowering girls who often get married early and diminish their life chances and what they can contribute to their families and to society.
Yeah.
So this is really a worthy cause.
I think so, too.
It is an amazing one.
And one of the things that came up in the video I forgot to mention is talking about play, especially in a lot of these places where children are earning income or they're escaping war. You know, I've heard from a different ADRA staff that school is the only time they get to be kids.
Yeah.
We forget that these are 8 and 9 year olds, you know, the age of my children, and they're working all day.
Yeah.
And they don't get to just be silly and goof off with other kids. And school is often the time to do that. And that we know more and more that we hear that how valuable that is to a child's development.
Yeah, it's very funny. One of the schools we visited, when it was recess time, these kids were, I've never seen kids
alive.
So excited. I mean, they were excited to just even be in school.
Of course.
I mean, and that was just so touching that, you know, they felt so blessed to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
But recess time, I mean, that was just crazy. And the teachers were explaining to us that, as you just said, that this is not something that they get to do frequently. And so it was very touching.
Yeah, what's wonderful about that also is you're also looking out for mental health.
Absolutely.
And what kind of resilience this community is going to have based on the individuals who populate it. How well are they, their spirits, their drive, their hope.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, school is hope.
Oh, it is.
And as you watch your video, imagine if you took away education from what they're talking about. the lack of empowerment, the lack of knowledge, the lack of opportunity.
Sure.
So it's in so many ways advantaging the world.
Absolutely.
And advantaging these communities and helping us to have helpers all around the world.
Around the
people
world.
Help themselves, they don't need our help. You know, and they can help someone else.
And they see that investment too. And we see that in the U.S. and around the world.
Yeah.
That when you're putting that kind of quality education, they recognize that people see the value in them.
Yeah.
And that's powerful. Sometimes these kids, you don't think about the fact that they don't think the rest of the world cares about
them. That's right.
They've run from war. They are in the middle of nowhere. But when you're fighting for them, they acknowledge it. And again, we see that in the U.S. too. When, you know, take people from less quality education to better, that's an investment that they deserve to see.
Yeah. Exactly. So what an amazing campaign that ADRA is doing.
Excited.
So how many signatures do you have so
far?
We
are in the tens of thousands at this point. So we
Excellent.
Are in early days, but we are also waiting for some stuff to come in from around the world. So a lot of places, they aren't doing it online. They're getting paper petitions, and we're waiting for those to come in, and we're getting it spread to some of the other divisions.
So. Right. So how are you getting the word out? How can we spread the word?
I know.
We have you on the show.
Yeah.
One more time. Tell us that website.
ADRA.org/inschool. But also, if churches and schools want to get involved, they can go there as well to do kind of a school-wide campaign, church-wide campaign. Again, we're partnering with other ministries, children's ministries, women's ministries.
Family ministries,
for sure, as well as, you know, even Elder Wilson has signed it, and he's helping us promote it.
Excellent.
You're not going to be able to escape it soon.
Thank you so much, Ashley.
Thank you for having
us. This has been wonderful.
Appreciate it.
And we're so excited for the work that ADRA is doing and for this very important campaign.
And thanks to our viewers for watching Real Family Talk. Visit our website for a link to the petition you can sign to support ADRA's campaign. And we'll see you next time.